Did the end of that Bible reading sound familiar to anybody here? It did, didn't it? You were here last Sunday, weren't you? You know, when Major Susan was preaching last Sunday the story of the feeding of the 5,000, I thought to myself, where did they all come from? Because you don't, I mean, have you anybody here been to the Middle East? Yes? Been there, been to the Holy Land? Yes? Do you normally see crowds of 6,000 or 7,000 people wandering around aimlessly in the wilderness? I don't think so. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never been, but I don't think that's normal, is it, to have that many people around? And I thought to myself, as I was listening to the story of the boy with his lunch, of the loaves and fishes, I thought, where did these people come from? Why were they there? And like all good prequels in the movie industry, you go back to the backstory. You know what I mean? You hear what I'm saying? And you find out what was going on. And if you look into chapter 9 here, you get one of the incidents, and that's only one of the incidents of within the Gospels, of Jesus sending out the disciples into the world. Earlier in Luke's Gospel, quite a bit earlier in Luke's Gospel, as Jesus was beginning his ministry, you would read there that he went from village to village. He went into the synagogues and he taught the people. And crowds became interested in this teacher, this new rabbi on the scene that they knew as Jesus. And yet, here we have in Luke 9, Jesus taking his disciples and sending them out, replicating and duplicating his ministry in the villages round and about. So now it was not one voice singing in the darkness, as the old song says, but now it was a dozen voices. We read in other parts of the Gospels where Jesus sent out 72 disciples. He was taking that simple act of multiplication, of divide and conquer, if you like, of giving the authority and the power and the skills, because he taught his disciples, I learn the Latin word that we have the root of discipleship. I learn from my master and I replicate what my master teaches me. No student being greater than his master, we read in Scripture. And yet, Jesus said to his disciples when he was leaving this earth, greater things than I will do, than I do, you will do. But here we do see the picture here. The prequel to the feeding of the 5,000 had to be the announcement of the event. Those of you who received Salvationist this week will see pictures and a letter, ghost-written by me. It was ghost-written. Okay, trust me, I didn't write the letter. But it's got my name at the bottom. Oh, spoiler alert. About the Sunday school reunion at the end of this month. And it's been in the Citizen. And we have people who, from this community, have contacted us and said, we were part of that Sunday school. We want to come back. We want to be here. And we send out the message. You send out the message that Solid Rock Band are going to have a reunion, and all of a sudden, it's far more popular than me on a Sunday morning. Just saying. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, the message goes out. The invitation is given, and the crowd appears. Is there a mystery to this? I don't think so. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, would say to them in chapter 1, verse 5, we give thanks to God because of our partnership in the gospel. I look again in his letter to the Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6. I pray that your partnership with us in faith may be effective. He writes to the church at Corinth, chapter 1, verse 3. We are co-workers together with God. My friends, the growth of the kingdom is God's business, but it doesn't just happen unless we, pardon the expression, his foot soldiers, get out there and invite somebody in. There are multitudes waiting to be fed, but we've got to invite them. There are people out there desperate to be fed by the gift that God can give through Jesus. But we have to be instrumental in bringing them the invitation. Listen to the phrase again. Bringing them the invitation. There is something powerful in an invitation. Now, whether the invitation is accepted or not, in this context, is not our concern. It's not our concern. Our concern is, as God's foot soldiers, as his representatives, as his emissaries, as his heralds, we go and we say, here is an invitation. And then we accompany that with a prayer that says, Lord, touch that heart. And if it is right, may that one person come here. When we march with the blood and the fire to the ends of the earth, we will go. But we don't go unless we go with a purpose. We have to have a purpose as God's people. We cannot, we must not drift through life as Christians thinking either I've done my bit or there is nothing I can do. We must, as we said to those going to summer school, we must talk about the highlight. We must talk about what God has done in our experience. And then the invitation. Would you like to know more about this? Do you know what I get up to? Hey, we've got coming up. Can I invite you? And then they come. And then Jesus stands in the midst, and Jesus takes what is brought and shares it. I think it's a beautiful picture. And actually, this feeding of the 5,000, which has sparked off in my head so many thoughts and ideas in terms of teaching and scripture and messages, sits for me right at the heart of what it is that the ministry of Christ was about. Now, I'm not saying that his passion, his crucifixion, his resurrection is unimportant. What I'm saying in terms of our mission as God's people, then this story of the feeding of the 5,000 sits at the very heart of what we should be about. Dear friends, you who love the Lord, you who have a passion for the things of the kingdom, use the power of the invite. Invite and ask and allow God to do the rest. The songwriter, in a slightly more contemporary song, says this, let us go out into the world with joy in our hearts.